Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, Maseches Tanis Daf Chaf Aleph. We have another Daf of Agadata today. We start on the top line. Ilfa v'Rabbi Yochanan. Ilfa was actually greater than Rabbi Yochanan, that's why he is mentioned first. So Ilfa, together with Rabbi Yochanan, havu garsi b'oiraisa. They were totally immersed in learning Torah, and d'chika luhu milsa. Things were financially very difficult for them. They were in dire straits. D'chika luhu milsa tuva. Amri, they figured, you know, let's go do some parnasa to sustain ourselves. Nekub, let's get up v'nezel and go. V'ne'avid iska. And get involved in doing some business. V'ne'kayim b'nafshin and fulfill with ourselves the pasuk, Ephes. Make sure there is no destitute amongst you. Rashi says, ensure that you are not an evyon. Support yourself. Make sure you don't get to that point. So they figured, we'll go, we'll take some time off and make a parnas. Ozlus, they went, and oisvu tusei guda riya. So on the way to wherever they were going to do some pranasa, they sat down. Oisivu, they sat down tusi, underneath or near, beside gudariya, an unstable wall. Havu kokarchi rifta, they were having their bread, they were having a meal. Near that wall, also tre malachi asharis. Along came two malachim. Shamer Rabbi Yechanan overheard the conversation conducted between these two malachim. Shami Rabbi Yechanan de Amar Chad L'Chavrei. One malach was saying to the other one, Nishdi Alayu Haiguda, let's push this wall over them. V'nik Talinu, I will kill them. Why? They abandoned Torah. They're supposed to be learning and have others support them. Shamanichin Chay Olam Haba, they're abandoning eternal life. V'oizkin M'chay Yishah. And getting involved in Chay Yishah, things involving Olam Hazeh, as she says, Olam Hazeh Zeschir. That's not their tafka. That's not their mission. Klal Yisrael needs leaders, needs individual totally immersed in learning. They can't get sidetracked. They can't divert their mind even a drop, which will affect their quality of learning. Amr Le Idach. So the other malach responded to the first malach. Shafkin, let's leave them. Let's not kill them. Why? There's one amongst these two, the Kaimole Shata, whose Shah, whose mazel, has yet still to shine forth, meaning he's going to rise to a position of prominence. Rashi says, Ve'ein Zman Olamos. It's not yet time for him to die. We can't do it. Now, who overheard this conversation? Only one of these two. Rabbi Yochanan Shama. Rabbi Yochanan was zeichet to hear this conversation between the malachim. Ilfa, on the other hand, loy Shama. He didn't hear anything. Amar Rabbi Yochanan to Ilfa. Rabbi Yochanan turns to Ilfa, Shama Marmidi. Tell me, have you heard anything? Amar loy, he says, loy, no, I didn't hear. Amar, Rabbi Yochanan figures, Midish Ami Ano. From the fact that I heard, I was zeicha to hear, if Ilfa lo shama, and not Ilfa, shma min ala didi kama li shata. Apparently, it was meant for me. I'm going to have a good mazel. I'm going to be elevated, be appointed to a position of authority, and I have to turn back. This is not where I'm meant to be. And some of Farshim say that, of course, Ilfa, Probably asked Rabbi Yochanan, so what did you hear? And he probably told him, but Ilfa felt that it's Hashkoch HaPratis, the fact that Rabbi Yochanan heard and not himself, is a raya that it was meant for Rabbi Yochanan, it was a personal message to him. But I myself, Ilfa, I have to be involved in Parnasa in order to sustain myself. Amali Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan turns to Ilfa. I'm going back. I'm going to go back va'oikib and I'll show you and apply to myself the pasuk kilo yachtal evyon mekerav aretz. You know what? At the end of the day, there's always going to be an evyon. Lo yachtal evyon mekerav aretz. The Evyon will not be completely removed from the Eretz. I'm willing to learn despite the hardship. I'm going to push a bit further, sacrifice a bit further for Torah. And in fact, Rabbi Yochanan Hadar, he went back to the Beis Medrash, Ilfa Lo Yehada, he didn't go back. He went to do some parnasa. And of course, Ilfa, the greatest man, he wasn't giving up much, he was still learning on the road, as we're going to see soon. Now, Ad the Asa Ilfa, by the time Ilfa came back from his travels, Malach Rabbi Yochanan. In fact, Rabbi Yochanan was Malach. He was appointed as Reish HaYeshiva, Lashon of Melech, of a leader. And Rashi brings, it's interesting that there was a minug that they would be Megadel the Rosh HaShiva. That's what the Gemara calls it, Malach, because they would treat him like a king and they would give him a salary and wealth, just like a Kohen Gadol. The Gemara in Yuma says that the fellow Kohanim would elevate him, give him wealth to solidify and reinforce his position. So, at the end of the day, Rabbi Yochanan got what he needed due to his added mysterious nefesh and push and sacrifice for Torah. Amrloi, so the people turned to Ilfa. E Asif Mar Vigoris, if you would have sat and learned as well, Loi Hava Malach Mar, Rabbi Yochanan would not have been appointed. You would have been appointed. You were the greater one amongst the two. Or perhaps they meant both would have been appointed to Rosh Hashivas. So he felt bad. Ilfa felt bad. Azal Tala Nafshe, he went and he suspended himself from this beam on the ship on which the mast hangs. Biskaria de Svinta, this beam, this pole on the ship. So he suspends himself high up and he makes an announcement. Omar, and he says like this, Iika de Sholi, I'd like anybody to come and challenge me. I want to prove that I haven't really lost any Torah just because I was traveling. And this was his mashal. He was suspending himself on this ship, showing, look, I traveled, I journeyed, I did schur, but don't think I wasn't learning. Don't think I abandoned Torah chas v'shalom. Come, test me. Yikud d'sholi, is there anybody that can come ask me, b'mas nisa, the Rav Chivra b'Eisha, regarding any halacha contained in a brisa composed by Rav Chivra b'Eisha, who of course learned their Torah from Rebbe or Bida Nasi, and chances are, anything contained in a brisa is really sourced, its concept is mentioned back in a Mishnah. So go, challenge me, present me with something found in a brisa, v'lo pishitnali b'mas nisan, and if I can't show you the source of that halacha in a Mishnah, that's how fluent I am in the halachas. If I can't do that, nefilna, I will fall miaskaria, the sphincter, from this pole, with tabana, into the water and drown. Of course, it was just an expression. He knew how to swim, he would have gotten out. But the point is, I'm taking on a challenge. Come see if I'm lacking anything in my knowledge. You know, my Baba Zangazun tells me about her father, who was a salesman in Munkacs in Hungary before the war, and he was a salesman for a German company. He used to travel the trains and the roads, and he was a great Talmud Chacham. He was one of the biggest in Munkacs. It was known that it was him and the Heilige Minchas Elazar. And my father, Zangazun, tells me that he used to travel with a little suitcase, little case, containing Kol HaTorah Kula. He had a mini Shas, a mini Rambam, a mini Tanakh, and that's how he used to travel the trains, with a safer like this. So, he was still a great man. That was his mission. He earned Parnassa, but he wasn't lacking anything in his knowledge, in his Torah. Ilfa as well says, look, this is out of necessity. I didn't abandon my Torah. Even while traveling on the Sfinta, I took my Torah with me. So Asa'u Saba, his older fellow, came along and took on the challenge. Tunnelly, he presents Ilfa with the following price, which says, Oy, meritinu shekel livanai b'shabbos. His fellow is passing away, and he says, look, for my inheritance and for my money, I want you to allot a weekly allowance for my children. Give them all my children one shekel, it's a half a sela, per week, per Shabbos. V'hein ru'uyin losis lam sela. Really, typically, they need more. They need a sela per week. So what do we do? Do we follow his instructions or not? We give them a sela. What do you mean? He said a shekel. Well, as Rashi explains, he was just trying to be mezarius them, to motivate them to be thrifty, to be economical with their expenditures. That's why he said, give them a shekel. But really, if they need more, we can give them more. But let's say he specifies, don't give them more than a shekel per week. In that case, he was very specific. We only give them a shekel. Furthermore, suppose he adds to his instructions. Part of the will is, when these children die, the leftover money should go over to others. In this case, we say that he wants leftovers. And therefore, it doesn't matter what he said. Whether he said, give them a shekel per week. Or whether he said, don't give them more than a shekel per week. Either way, we are careful to give them only that shekel because he has indicated that he wants leftovers for the other party to get afterwards, after they pass away. A shekel, we only give them a shekel. No, so this is a halacha and a braisa, and where is it found in a Mishnah? Amar Lei. So Ilfa responded, that's easy. Hamani Rab Meiri. The Omar Mitzvah, the kind of Rameis, this is Rab Meir, who we find in Mishnah and Gittin, holds Mitzvah L'Kayim, Divrei Meis, is a mitzvah to fulfill the words of the Meis. We don't want him to get anxious as he's passing away. And therefore, in this case, even though, technically speaking, a person has no right to dictate to his children what to do with the money that they inherit from him after his passing, it's not his business. But Rav Meir holds, yes, Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Meis. Okay, so we had a story with Ilfa, with Rabbi Yechanan. And the lesson of the story is, go the extra mile. It was your nefesh, and Hashem will deliver. Omru olaval Nochem Ish Gamzu. Here comes another well-known story regarding Nochem Ish Gamzu. The following was said about him. Shayaz Suma Mishtei Enof, he was blind on both eyes. Gide Mishtei Yadav, missing both hands. Kite Mishtei Ragov, missing both feet. V'chol Gufay Malei Shchin, his entire body full of boils. V'yamutum Bais Ru'ua, some take this out. V'ragli Mutasai Munachin, Besfolin Shalmayim, and the legs of his bed were inserted into containers filled with water, kadesh lo yalu olav namol, so that ants shouldn't climb on him because he wouldn't be able to shoo it away. He has no limbs to do so. Pamachas, it so happens that once, hoysa mitosa monachas baisirua. Nochum ish gamzo, this tzaddik's bed was positioned in an unstable structure. Bikshu tamidav lefanis mitosa. Tamidim wanted to get him out first. V'achakach lefanis sakelim, then clear the kelim. First comes the person, first the tzaddik, and then the kelim. Amar lehem, he turns to them and says, no, reverse the order. Bonai, my children. Panos akelim, first take the kelim out. V'achakach panos mitos, and then clear my bed. Shemuftach lachem, because you are guaranteed. Shekol zman shani b'bayis, as long as I'm here. Ein abayis noifel, the house will not fall. So he was aware of his chusim, and he says, look, clear the house first, and then take me out of here. In fact, Pinos HaKelem said, listen, it took the Kelem first, V'achakach Pinos Mitos, and then his bed, and in fact, V'nafal HaBayis. Then the room fell apart. Omer Le Talmidim turned to him and said, Rebbe, V'chim Me'achash Tzadik Gomrata. Now we see how great you are. If that's the case, Lama also L'chakach, how could it be that you're experiencing such Yisurim, such difficulties? Omer Lehem, he turns to them, Bonai, my dear children, Ani Goramti La'atzim, you know what? I brought them on myself. It so happens that I was once traveling on the road to the house of my father-in-law. I had truckloads of food, 3 donkey loads. One with food, one with drinks, one with other delicacies. A poor man greets me on the road. V'amarlin, he tells me, Rebbe Parnasin, please, I need some food. Amartli, I says, sure. But instead of puncturing a hole straight into the sack, I figured, let me just unload and open it up and give it to him then. Amartli, hamtin, wait just a minute, acha efrik min achamar, until I unload from the donkey. L'yispakti lifrik min achamar, I didn't even get a chance to do that. Acha yotus on ishmas, and this fellow expired. I didn't respond fast enough. I felt terrible. I went and I thrust myself over him. And I said, my eyes, which did not have enough compassion on yours, you assume they should become blind. My hands, which did not have enough rachmanis on yours, his garden should be chopped off. Raglai, my legs, which didn't have rachmanis on yours, iskatu should be removed. I wasn't happy with that. Until I concluded, kol gufi, my entire body should be filled with shechin. So this is a fitting einish. My lack of sensitivity. I should have seen how desperate he was. I should have seen that he was in a state of boom, as some farshim say. He was at the point of expiring. So now this is an einish, a kapara. And I'm pleased with it. This will give me a ticket to Olam Haba. Amrlo, his talmidim tell him, Oy lanu, woe to us, Shera'inucha b'kach, that we've witnessed you in this desperate state. Amrlo, he responds to them, you got it wrong. Oily, woe to me, imloi. Ra'isuni b'kach, if you would not see me in this state, it's to my benefit. It's machaper my virus. Asks the Gemara, how did he get such a strange name, Nochem Ish Gamzu? V'amai korali Nochem Ish Gamzu? Duchol musadav esakli. Any difficult experience that he had, Omar, he would say, sure, there's an expression of goodwill from Hashem, which is visibly good, chesed. But there's another expression called gvura, called din, called judgment, strictness. And he used to say, Amar gamzu l'toiva. Explains the term of devoira. Gamzu, even din, even strictness, is ultimately l'toiva as well. It's also the same expression, Hashem's passionate love for us. Gamzu l'toiva. Simna chad, in fact, there was once a story. Bo l'shdura Yisrael. Yisrael wanted to send during a gift of a kesa to the Kaiser to annul a decree. Amru, they figured, man yezel, who's going to be a fitting shliach to represent us? Yezel Nochem Ish Gamzu. Let's end it with Nochem. The Melumud ben Nisanu. He's somebody who's experienced with Nisan. We need somebody like that to take care of this for us. Shadru Biyade, they sent with him Mole Sifta, a box full, Davonim Tevis Margolis, with precious stones. Also, bus, he went to sleep Bahudira in this hotel on the road. Belelia, in the middle of the night, Komu Hanach de Yurai, those hoteliers got up. They robbed him. Vishaklinu Lisifta, they took his box, emptied it out of those stones, or Malunu Afra, and instead filled it with sand, so that he won't tell. Kimata Hasam, when he arrived at the king, Sharinu Lisifta, okay, here's your gift. They opened up the box. Chazinu de Malo Afra. What did they see? It's filled with dirt. Bo Malkul Miktilinu Lukul. The king was enraged. He wanted to kill all the Israel. Omar, he said, Kamachaychi, Kamachaychu, Bi Yehudai. Look, the Jews are mocking me. What kind of gift is this? Nachum didn't lose his bearings. Can you imagine? The king, a gift representing the Jews, full of sand. Omar, he says, Gamzu l'toiva. That's how connected he was with Hashem. Gamzu l'toiva. And he was echad tanis. Us Eliyo, quickly Eliyo shut up to the rescue. Idamalek echad b'nayu. He appeared like one of those ministers. Amar lehem, he turns to them. Hold it, 1 second. Dilma, maybe ha afra, this sand, this special sand, me'afra d'avram avoinu, is that sand that their father, their grandfather, Avram Avinu used, which had miraculous qualities to it. D'chi havashodi afra, when he used to toss the sand, habu saifi, would be transformed into swords against his enemies. Gili, when he would toss straw, have a giri, they would turn into arrows. D'chsev yitain ka'afra charvi, the afra turned into charv. K'kash nidav kashti, the kash turned into keshes. Okay, let's test it out. They had this certain country, that they had a very difficult time conquering it. So they decided to take the sand out to war and see if it works. A nest only works when it's needed. They couldn't just test it out here. So they took it to the battlefield. They used some of the sand. And indeed, they prevailed. They were victorious. Now the king was all excited. Ailu lebeganze. He took him into the treasure house. Umalu lesifte. And they filled up his box with avonim, tovus, and margolias. Vishadru, and they sent him off with great pomp and fanfare. Bikra rabba. Kiasu bisu baudura. And they went back to stay overnight at that same hotel. He kept the same lo'ilam al yishan oda machsani shibay. Rashi brings a chumash. He went back to the same hotel. Amrulay, so they asked him, what are you? You're still here? You're still alive? My Isis Badach, what did you bring to the king? What did you bring along? The Abdilach Yikarakulihai, that you deserve this great honor from the king. Amrulus, he tells him, look, my Deshakli Mahacha, whatever I brought from here, Amtilahasim, I delivered there. Perhaps he wanted them to get punished. Sashul Dirai, they figured, wow, we must have precious land under our house. They knocked down their house. Vamtunul Bimach, and they took truckloads of the sand over to the king, Amrulay, and they tell him, hi, offer, this is the very same offer, the Isi Hacha, that was brought over here, Medidano. This sand that was brought to you was, this is from ours, this is our land, Medidano. But cool. So they checked the sand, Vilayish Kechua, and didn't produce anything miraculous, just plain sand, Vikatlinu Lahanach the Uroi, and in fact they killed these hoteliers, and they got their fitting punishment. So that was the story of Nachum, Ish comes. Mishnah spoke about difficult situations which require drastic measures. Tanis, tefillah, blowing the shofar. One of these are dever. Ezehi dever. What's considered a dever, a plague, where people are suddenly dying right and left? Ir hamitziyah chamesh meisraglu. In a city of 500 male adults, three people were dying one day after the other. Or in a case where we have a city with 1,500 male adults, so now the number is threefold. Keep going. Kfarakai, it's an example of such a town. You have 9 mason in 3 days, one day after the other, so it's 3 per day. Hariz a dever, it's called a dever. But if they died all in one day, as tragic as it is, but we don't see a pattern forming, it's not called a dever. Or spread amongst 4 days. Ain't the dever, it doesn't qualify as dever. Or v'ir hamatziyah chamesh meis ragli, a town with 500. You go in kfar amiku, it's an example. V'yotzu menu shloisha meisim begimul yom zechar zeh, which produced 3 meisim. One today, one tomorrow, one the next. Here is a dever. V'yemecha, but if it's all one day, oy ba'arba yom, or spread throughout 4 days, Ain Zedever doesn't qualify as a dever. Drukras was an Ir HaMotziah Chomesh Meis Ragli Hava. Drukras was the name of a town which had 500 males. V'yatz Memenu Shloisha Meisim Memechad. And it produced 3 Meisim in one day. So it wasn't in 3 successive days, rather in one day. Gozer Rav Nachum Bar Chizda Tanis. Rav Nachum Bar Chizda made a tanis. Omer Nachmar Yitzchak, Keman, whose shita are you following? It happened all in one day. It was all concentrated. Why would that be considered a dever? Whose shita is this? Keman Reb Meir. Apparently, he followed Reb Meir's shita. This pertains to Shur Hamuot, discussed in Bava Kamma. So you have an ox who gores occasionally, sporadically, a non-habitual gorer. It's called a Shur Tam. He's less liable, less responsible, as opposed to a shor hamu'ad, a habitual gorer. He's more responsible, he's held accountable all the way. In that case, the owner has to pay nezek shalom, full and complete damages. How does a shor turn into a shor hamu'ad? Rabbi Yehuda holds, he has to show up a pattern. He has to habitualize himself. He has to be margul himself to negicha. Gore today, gore tomorrow, gore the next day. 3 days in a row constitutes a pattern and makes him a shor hamu'ad. Ramirez says, look, I agree, if it's 3 days in a row, it makes him a shor hamu'ad, but certainly if it happened all in one day, that's certainly a shor hamu'ad. That's certainly second nature. It's so habitualized. It happened in one day? Of course he's considered a shor hamu'ad. Keman ki Ramirez de Omar, richek n'gechoyz av chayiv. If an ox spread his nekichos apart, one per day is chayav, that's an indication of a muad. Kirev nekichos of lekoshke, don't you think? If he concentrated into one day, of course, he's called a muad. Therefore, you, Rahmar of Chizda, made a tannis when there were three people who were mason one day, because you held like Rav Meir. Look, if three mason in 3 days constitute a pattern of destruction, of dever, of a plague, certainly if it happened in one day, it's even worse. So apparently this is the Shita, but the our Mishnah doesn't hold that way. Right? Our Mishnah says it has to be dafka one per day. And otherwise, you know, as tragic as it is, but it's a freak thing, freak accident. It doesn't necessarily indicate a pattern. So the interesting machlekes, whether concentrated misa or negicha, is indicative of a pattern, indicative of a condition of concern. Amali Rav Nachman, Rav Chizda, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. So Rav Chizda turns to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, who made this tannis, and I guess he appreciated his wisdom, he appreciated his stature, and he says, look, what are you doing hanging around simple people? Come with us, we have a more elite crowd, come learn with us. Leiko Mar, Leisi Legaban, Mar, you get up and come with us, spend time learning with us, you'll have more. Amalei, so Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak responded, I'm comfortable where I am. I'm in a position of influence. I'm a shpia on others. I make my place, so to speak. And coming over to your place doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to benefit from it. Amalei, he says, look, Tanina, I know a braisa which says like this, Rav Yisrael, the mokim doesn't necessarily add honor to the person. It's not the place that makes the man, it's the man that makes the place. El odom mechabedes mekoim. How do I know? Shekem metzini b'Har Sinai. Look at Har Sinai. We know Har Sinai had Kedusha. Was it the mokim, the mountain? Absolutely not. Look, nowadays, is there any Kedusha to Har Sinai? Of course not. It was a Shechina which rested on that mountain that gave it its prominence and Kedusha. As long as the Shechina was there, Amra Torah says, keep away. All the animals should not pasture on the mountain. But it wasn't the mountain, it was the Shechina that was the cause of Kedusha. In fact, Nistalka Shechina, as soon as the Shechina went away, Amra Torah, what did the Torah say? As soon as they blow that long blow with the Shofar, as long as the Shechina leaves, Shechina is gone, the Kedusha is gone. You can use the mountain. So I'll stay where I am. Over here I influence, I teach. And the man, that's what it's up to. The man, Adam, Mechabedes Mekoyme. V'chei Metzini Bo'il Moed, Shebe Midbar. Same thing regarding the Mishkan in the Midbar. Shekoz Man Shunat, as long as the Mishkan was erect, Amra Torah says, Tmeim out. V'shalchum en amachne kol tzuruv chalzav. Once they were getting ready to travel, and the pareches was rolled up, that's it. No more kedusha. Who true zav and vametzuram the kanas hashem. All the zav and mitzuram can enter the area. So the makom doesn't have its own inherent value. That's not the source of kedusha. It's a shechina. It's a teira. Amrle. So Rav Nachman Bar Chizda says, okay, you're not coming here. Rihachi. If so, nekem ano legabimar. I'll go to you. He was seeking his camaraderie. He wanted to learn with him. You're not going to come here. You're in a position of leadership, of influence. You're staying there. I'll come join you. Amalei, so Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak tells him, it's not fitting for you to come to me. Mutav, yavai mana ben pras. It's better that a mana ben pras. Mana is a full measure of 100 coins, and pras is only a half of that. So Rashi learns that man is referring to himself and pras to his father, wasn't so chashev. So it's more, makes more sense that I, who is a man ben pras, and he says, Rashi says, because you see, it was Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Rav Nachman, and his father was only Yitzchak, he didn't have smicha, so he was called a pras. He didn't have the same chashivus. So I, who am a mana ben pras, should be coming etzel mana ben mana, should go over to you, Rav Nachman bar Rav Chizda, Rav Nachman Rav Chizda, both were chashav, both were talmid chacham of high stature. I should come over to you, as opposed to you coming to me. Val yavei mana ben mana, as opposed to a mana ben mana, that's you, Rav Nachman Rav Chizda, to travel over to me, etzel mana ben pras, who's only a mana, the son of a pras. And some ask on Rashi, how can you say that Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak was sort of degrading his father, calling him only a pras? Some actually learn a different pshat in the Gemara. Ben mana or ben pras is referring to a level of wealth, which adds prominence to a person, and apparently both were wealthy. Rav Chizda, both Rav Nachman's were wealthy. Rav Nachman, Rav Chizda, him and his father were wealthy. Sorry, no, only with the father. Rav Nachman, Rav Chizda was more wealthy than Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. And therefore, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak tells him, better that a mana ben pras, I'm a mana, but only ben pras, whether it's I'm not as wealthy as you, or maybe my father's not as wealthy, should go over to you, who has wealth going along the entire family. In any case, the point was, you stay where you are, I'll stay where I am. Besura havus deverta. In the town of Sura, they were experiencing a devera, a plague. However, b'shivavus, say the Rav, in the neighborhood of Rav, holy havus deverta, there was no plague. Savru mina. So the people observing this unusual phenomenon figured, mishum s'chus say the Rav the nafish. This must be because of Rav's zechus, his great zechusim that are protecting his neighborhood from dever. Is chazlu bechelma. Then they experienced a dream. They were shown from heaven a following message. It has nothing to do with Rav. Rav the nefisha zechusim. Tuva. Rav who has so much zechusim, homil, so this type of little thing, zutra leila Rav is small change for him. He has much greater zechusim than just protecting his local neighborhood. Some explain the Gemara means his chus would protect the entire city, not just his neighborhood. But apparently, there must have been a reason why his city was not zeicha to attain his protection. Perhaps they weren't respecting him properly, or whatever reason there was there. So this has nothing to do with his chus. This is a small change for him. The reason why the neighbor is protected is because of something else, because of somebody else. Ela rather mishuma ugabra, because of that particular person who's involved in a mitzvah. And because of that, there is no dever in that area of the city. Hogavra the shayil, he would loan out more of his villa, pick, and his shovel, likvura, so people can bury others. And as Rashi says, this was mida keneged mida. Fitting response to his mida. His mida was the fact that it was safe from death. There's another story, Bedrukras, the city that we mentioned earlier. In that town, Havas Lekta, it was a raging fire. But in the neighborhood where Rav Huna lived, there was no fire. Several people figured b'schus of the Rav Huna the nafish, that this neighborhood was spared because of Rav Huna's schus. Is chazlu b'chelma? Well, it was shown from heaven the following vision, the following message in their dream. Hai zutra leil Rav Huna. This is a small change for Rav Huna. This is not because of him. We don't need Rav Huna for this. Ela Meshumai, he is. Rather, it's because of this particular woman, the Mechamah of Stanur, who heats up her oven. Umeshayli, the Shavusa, when she's done using her oven, she keeps it hot and warm so that her neighbors can use it and spare themselves the extra expenses. So again, Mida connected Mida, says Rashi. She was doing a mitzvah with fire. They were being spared from the fire as well. There was a story about one of the earlier Belzer Rebbes that he wasn't the most charismatic person, and they hired him as the Rav in the town, and they weren't sure whether he's going to be successful. They gave him a 5-year trial period. And he took to learning seriously, went to at his corner, and he sat and he learned Yomim V'Laila, Torah V'Avoida. But he wasn't the most active, charismatic leader that some would have expected. After the 5 years were up, some members of the community told him, look, with all due respect, it's not what we had in mind. We wanted somebody that's really going to inspire, that's going to reach out. So the Rav tells him, look, I can't argue with the facts. I am what I am. But let me ask you a question. In the last 5 years, is there any fire in this town? Go ask the fire brigade. Any fires in the town? No. Go ask the police. Were there any robberies in the town? No. He says, look, You know, we know that Torah, Torah Lishma, a person that's a tzaddik, he's mashpia, he protects. He offers hagana to his surroundings. And that's all I can say. And they rehired him. Says the Gemara, unbelievable of Huhud. They came running to Rabbi Yehuda and they told him, also come, see, look, some grasshoppers showed up. Goza Tanisa. He made a tanis. Unbelievable. They told him, wow, 1 second, what's the rush? Like Kamav Sedan, they're not eating any crops. They're just here for a visit. We don't see them doing any damage. Unbelievable. He tells them, Zavda. Aisu Bahadayu. Did you notice if they brought some food along with them? Meaning, sooner or later, they'll start devouring the crops. And of course, it's reason for concern. Unbelievable. Rabbi Yehuda. They came to Rida and they told him, Ikam Yisona Bachaziri. There was a plague affecting the swine. Because of Tanisa, he made a fast day. Why? Name of Kasav Rav Yehuda. Do you mean Rav Yehuda holds Maka Mishulachas, when there's a Maka striking, Bibin Echad, striking one type, one variety, like the Chazirim, Mishulachas B'Kol Aminim, is considered something which is endangering all the other types. That's why he was concerned when the Chazirim were afflicted by this Maka. Perhaps it's going to spread to humans as well. Was that his thinking? No, that's not why. There was a special resemblance, a connection between Chazirim and human beings. Loi, Shani Chaziri, the damin me'ayu lebnei inch. The me'ayin, the innards, the intestines of the Chazirim, are very similar in nature to people rather than animals, and therefore, if they were struck, perhaps this is a message of warning from Hashem. Correct your ways. It's interesting that Tosfos brings a shaila. The Ritva also discusses this. Let's say there was a tzara afflicting non-Jews. Do Yisraelim have to worry about it? So Tosfos brings 100%, because just as the condition that was affecting the Chazir was reason for concern regarding Adam, certainly things which affect Nachrim can quickly spill over to Yisrael, because they're so similar, of course. The Ritva, interesting, brings a Svara disagrees. He says, look, Goyim and Yidden, two different species, so to speak. And therefore, even if something's affecting the Nachrim, it has no bearing on the Yisraelim. You know, the Sarim, the ministers in Shemayim who administer the Nachrim, no connection to Yisrael. It's a different thing. And therefore, according to that approach, there's no reason to worry when something affects the Nachrim and not the Yisraelim. Amrei Shmuel, they came to tell Shmuel, Ikam Yisona B'Chizoy, in the town of Chizoy, there's a plague rampant. Gaza Tanisa, so he made a Tanis. Amrei, they tell him, what do you mean? Chizoy is far away, V'amarachak. It's so far from here. Why are we concerned about it spreading? Omar, he says, look, it's far, but not far enough. Lekha ma'abra, there's nothing crossing in between. There's no rivers. It can spread very easily. Lekha ma'abra ha'cha de pasikle, it's coming in between us. Omar, Rav Nachman, they came to Rav Nachman, Ikam son of Eretz Yisrael, there's a plague affecting people in Eretz Yisrael, Gaza Tanisa. He made a fast day because of the dever happening in Eretz Yisrael. So he made a fast day in Bavel. Omar, he said, if the mistress is suffering, Eretz Yisrael is a mistress. Eretz Yisrael is created first. We had this earlier in the Masechta. It reigns there first. That's the Gvira, in contrast to Bavel, which is just like a maidservant to Eretz Yisrael. And Gvira, like if the Gvira is suffering, Shivcha LeKalshka, and certainly the maidservant. If Eretz Yisrael is suffering, we have to be concerned as well. It might spill over to us. Says the Gemara, Tama de Gvira Shivcha. Apparently, it's only because of this analogy of the Gvir and the Shifcha. Ha Shifcha v'Shifcha loy. But suppose we have two cities in Bavel itself, both considered like Shifcha, relative to each other. So if one city is affected, the other one doesn't have to worry. Va'amra l'Shmuel, but didn't they tell Shmuel Ika Meisana bechizoy? There's a Meisana happening bechizoy, a town of Bavel. Gaza Tanisa. He made a fast day where Shmuel, of course, lived in Arda, a different town of Bavel. Both cities were in Bavel. Why is he concerned? Shani Hassan. The difference there is, given the Ika Shai Rasa, because there were travelers going from one town to the other, Delvuye Va'asye Bahadei, the sickness, the germs, can accompany and come along with those travelers. So you never know. You have to be concerned. The Gemara will conclude the story with Abba Ubna. Abba, that was his name. Ubna, who was a bloodletter. That was his profession. And he was a man of such great stature due to his chesed and great deeds. Haba Asale, he would receive a message. Shlomo, a greeting of Shalom, Mimasifta Derekia, from the yeshiva in Shemayim. Kol Yaim, on a daily basis. A daily greeting. That was Abba Ubna. Ula Abaya, as opposed to Abaya, who got a greeting, but only once a week. Kol Malish Yomid Shabbat, every Erev Shabbos. L'Rava, Kol Malish Yomid Kippur. Rava got his greeting once a year, Erev Yom Kippur. So Abba Ubna, daily. Abaya, weekly. Rava, yearly. Have a Kachol Shadayt at Abaya. Mishum da Abba Ubna. Abaya felt bad. How come he's not measuring up to Abba Ubna? He's only getting greeted once a week, rather than once a day. Amrulay, they told him, Lematzis l'mabit kuvta, you can't measure up. His deeds are so great. Abba Umna's, and that's why he deserves a daily greeting. So although in Torah, it seemed that Abaya was certainly greater, but in a certain extent, in Schusim and Maasim, he has something that surpasses everybody. Umay habu uvde, da Abba Umna. And indeed, what did he do? Dechiyava Ovid Milsa, when he was engaged in bloodletting, Hava Machas, he would place Gavri Lechud, men, to one side, Vinashi Lechud, and women separately. Viisle Levusha, he would have some sort of uniform, the Isbe Karna, which had a karen, this sharp tool, already embedded in the uniform, the Havas Bezia Kikos Silta. And the uniform, this dress that he used to put on to his patient, had a Bezia, had a little hole, Kikos Silta, the size of this bloodletting equipment that he needed. So it was just open a little bit as per need. Ki havas asle itza, when a woman come along for a treatment, have a malbush, like he would dress her this uniform, ki hechad le istakaba, that he doesn't look at her skin. That's number one. Vi isle duchta ditznia, when it came to payment, he had this place off to the side, this hidden place, the shadri pshiti, into which pshiti coins would be tossed, the shakal, which he would take as payment. He wouldn't take it personally. He had some sort of pushka on the side. This would allow those who can't afford to leave without payment. The isle, if one could pay, shadibe, he would insert his coins. The lesle, if he couldn't pay, loy, nichsef, he wouldn't have to be embarrassed. He would just leave without paying. Ki avas isramli tzubim rabban, if he had a talmud chacham as a patient, agur min eilu shakl, even if he could afford. So schus to support a talmud chacham, he would not take payment. Ubasa the Kohen, not only that, after he was done bloodletting, you have the pshit, he would give him some coins for the road. Vamalini tells him, Zil bari nafshach. You know, the bloodletting was a very traumatic experience. Afterwards, they'd have to buy a meal to reinvigorate. He would give him some coins. Go buy some food, be mechazik yourself. You know, my Zedel HaShalom, Shlomo Ronberg, he told me that when he was a bachar, learning in Mir Yeshiva, so the bacharim used to stop off at the Rogachev Goyin, Beyesa Brizhin, in the town of Dvinsk. A little chat in the Ritera. It was an experience. So one time he's on the way home from Mir, he stopped off in Dvinsk. Came to the Rogachev's house and was talking and learning. He says that the Rogachev was, in contrast to his Svarim, where he's just writing in cryptic language, Va'ayin here, Va'ayin there, but personally, when he would speak, it was very clear. Very, very clear, step by step, in a way that he could really understand him. In any case, they were learning and they were done. So Maizeda got up to leave, and the Rogachev asks him, "Where are you going?" He's going, he's taking a train. So Rogachev says, "One second, you have what to eat?" He says, "A bacher from Vilna, you need to have some bulkas for the trip, some rolls." He says, "Wait a second." He went to the next room and came back with two coins. A 10 and a 5, I think it was Kupikas or whatever. A 10 and a 5, and he gave it to him. He told him again, a bacher from Vilna needs to have some bulkas. And he gave him the coins and he left and traveled back home, and he never used the coins. He said he never used the coins, he always kept them on him. Through the war, through all his travels, through Vichy, France and Cuba, and years of traveling and escaping, And he always kept those coins on him, and until he came to America, and they still have, they saved it. And he said, he told me, Zayda told me that he believes that b'schus, the coins of a tzaddik, he was never hungry. He was never hungry throughout the war. So, Abu Umna used to give the coin to the Talmud Chacham, go ahead, buy some bulkas. Yom Echad, it so happens that one day, Shadr Abai Zuga de Rabbar Lemuduki. Abai was impressed with this fellow's modus operandi. He sent a Zuga, Zuga de Rabbana, a pair of Rabbana, to check him out to see if indeed this fellow is worthy of his stature. Isvino, so these two chachamim went into his house. Osvinu Abu Umna sat him down. Vachlinu Mashkinu gave him to eat and drink. Machlu, and he put them to sleep. But bis tarki, Rashi says tachshite tzemer, some sort of elegant linen, woolen linen or whatever. Belalia that night, machlu bis tarki belalia. So that night he put them to sleep on these bis tarki and these elegant tachshite tzemer. Letzafra the next morning, karachinu, the rabbanon folded up the linen, v'shaklinu, and took it along with them. V'kamu v'nafku v'shuk, and they went out to the market, they took along the linen. V'ashkechinu, and Abu Umna meets the chacham in the marketplace, holding his linen. Now the Mefarshim explained that the Talmidim figured, rightfully so, that Abu Umna, as generous as he was, especially to the Talmid Chacham, would be certainly more than happy that they took it along with them so they can have it and they can use it. So they took it along with them and they meet him in the marketplace. Amru Leili Shaimimar, Heichi Shabu. Can you give us a quick guesstimate? How much these things are worth? Amru Lehus, he tells him, Hachi Bhavi, I think it was worth this and this much. Amru Leili, they ask him, Vedumu Shabu Tvei, well, maybe you're underestimating. They were sort of offering to sell it to him. Maybe they're worth more. Amalus, he tells him, look, I'll tell you the truth. This is how much I paid when I bought these things. Some learn that, Yavitz learns, he didn't actually recognize them as his. He figured there was something similar to what he had, and he figured, this is pretty much what it's worth. This is how much I paid for things which are similar to this. Amalus, indeed, they turn to him, and they say, Didachnu. Well, guess what? It happens to be yours. We took it from you. Take it back. Amrulais, they said, listen, we have one question to ask. Matusa Menach, please. When you saw us and you heard we were offering to sell it to you, what were you thinking? What were you suspecting that we were up to? Amrulahus, he doesn't look. I mean, I figured Pidyon Shvuim Iklalul Rabban. I'm assuming that you have a mitzvah, pidyon shvuyim, after redeem a captured person. You need money. V'chsifu l'me'amali. You're embarrassed to tell me outright that you want to collect money. So therefore, you did this little trick. You took the linen and you tried to sell it to me instead of taking money outright. Amrulais, they tell him, look, that's very nice, but we don't really need it. We're just trying to test you. See, Abaye sent him to test him, to test his generosity. Here, take it back. Here, take it back. Amalus, he tells him, absolutely not. Mahushat, from that very moment when I noticed that it was mine, I diverted it from my mind, meaning I was Messiah Das, I gave up on it. I committed it to Tzedaka, and that's the halacha. When a person commits, even nonverbal commitment to Tzedaka, it's meant to be kept. Here, keep it. Use it in good health. So here we see how generous he was, how erlich he was. And that explained why he got a daily greeting from Shemayim. And we spoke about Rava, who had an annual greeting, Erev Yom Kippur. Havakuchol shedai to the Rava mishum d'abayi. So Abu Umna was in a league of his own. But Rava felt bad that he wasn't equated with Abayi, who got a weekly greeting. He only got once a year. Amalei, from Shemayim, they told him, look, mistayach, it's enough for you. To come Magnus, Akula Karcha, you're schus, you're protecting the entire city. Some farshim explained that's why he got a greeting Erev Yom Kippur before the Gemara Yom Hadin to show. This was a message to Rava. You're protecting your entire city. He lived in Mechoiza. You're protecting Mechoiza from harsh judgment. So, that's a compliment. So we started today with the story with Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan. We had Nachamish Gamzu. We discussed the definition of Dever, how a tzaddik protects his town. We had the story with Abu Umno, got a daily greeting, Abaye, a weekly greeting, and Rava, once a year. All the best to you and much, much hatzlacha.